All right, guys. If we can bring everybody in, we're going to open up the door. You guys okay if we open up the doors, let some fresh air in? Everybody hate fresh air. Fresh air and coolness. All right. Well, again, I realize I didn't even introduce myself. My name is Pastor Mike, and I'm excited to be your guys. Oh, woo! That was nice. That was very nice, you guys. I sweat enough as it is upon this stage, so I was like, let's open the doors, please, okay? Get some natural light in here. So hopefully you guys will enjoy the fresh breeze. And it's been crazy weather, right? Like, anybody agree? Like, it's beautiful one minute. Like, what's up with that? So I know, it's kind of weird. So, but, well, I am really excited today to be here to get to preach this message. This is going to be a new series we're starting today, and today's part one. It's called Soil and Iron. And I'll go into kind of the details of where that name came from in a couple minutes. But before I do, if you're new here, generally I like to get people kind of talking to each other. So say hi to your neighbor, give a high five, at least one high five. Going to do that right now. Okay. High five, high five, high five. Okay. All right, good job. And also if you're new here, okay, we're probably a little bit different than your regular church. I tend to tell inappropriate stories about myself at the beginning of almost every message. Today's not too bad, okay, but I like to kind of kick it off with something funny or silly about myself, and it turns out that usually I do something dumb almost every week, so it's pretty good odds. So anyways, this story has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon message whatsoever, but I thought it was pretty funny. About 2 weeks ago, my wife was working, and I had my two daughters, Emma, who is just turned 4, and my older one, who is Layton, who's 5, she's almost 6. And I took him swimming and brought him back home, and I put him in the bath. And like any good dad, you know, I put them in the bath, and I just kind of left them there for a while. They were having fun, right? I was very attentive. Not really. I was sitting in the room where I could hear them, but I couldn't see them. And you're like, oh, my gosh, he's a terrible father. I can see the judgment right now. But I could hear him playing there, having a good time, and I can hear him when they get in and out of the bath, and they like to get out of the bath and go, you know, potty when you have to, of course, right? So I heard one of them get out in a little pitter-pitter-patter, you know, use the toilet, flush the toilet. I could yell at him, and I heard him flush the toilet and then go back. And I thought, all right, nothing really of that. It was nothing unusual. And about, you know, 10 minutes later, they were having a ton of fun. I went and finally got him out of the bath, dried him off, and the rest of the day went on pretty normally, right? So later that night, kids had already gone to bed. I finally decided I should probably take a shower. I know, hard to believe, I do take showers, believe it or not, okay? So I went and hopped in the shower, got out of the shower, and I grabbed my towel and I started drying off, and I was like, you know, something in this bathroom smells like pee, like a lot. I was like, this is not normal. So I start, you know, I'm drying myself off, I start kind of investigating. I get that this gives you guys a terrible image. But I start investigating, like looking around the toilet, like is there like, you know, a puddle somewhere, looking around the outside of the shower, going over by where the kids' bathtub is. And I just keep drying off, and I'm like, this is getting stronger. This smell, where is this smell coming from? And I am totally perplexed. And I'm like, Krista, did one of the kids pee in here earlier or something? And she's like, I don't think so. Just drying off. And finally, I get to the point where I go to dry my face. And the smell is very strong, suddenly. I realized that my youngest Emma had gotten out and used my towel, my bath towel, to wipe up her pee, because she's not so accurate. So that has absolutely nothing to do with today's sermon, but I thought it was a pretty funny story. So I hope you enjoyed that. So there you go. Yeah, I'm a good, good father. I wipe off with pee towels. So. Yes, I did get back in the shower. And not to mention, Krista, my wife, thought it was just absolutely hilarious. I mean, she was just absolutely laughing. So, all right, guys. So today we're going to be talking about soil and iron. And again, this is the first part. Part one, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. We're going to have the words up on the screen here. So if you guys don't have a Bible or you don't have your phone, you want to read along up there, you can. You can also open our Mission Church app, and it's got all the notes in there, and you can follow along on there. So you guys want to do that, we're going to read through together. It's only 20 verses, okay? It's not a full chapter. I know, you guys can think that. But really quick, I forgot one thing I wanted to do. I've been gone for the last 4 weeks, 3 weeks from preaching up here, and I just want to take a moment and just thank George Murphy and Andrew Russell for doing such an amazing job filling in. Thank you, guys. It's been refreshing to have a couple weeks off, and I really feel like God has spoken to me a lot during that time. So here we are, Mark chapter 4. Words are up on the screen if you want to follow along. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. while the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. These are stories that Jesus used. And in his teaching, he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along a hard path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12 disciples and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How will you then understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Church, would you go ahead and we're going to bow our heads and pray over today, and then we'll jump into this word. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning, for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you that you have given us this amazing place that we get to call home. We're so grateful, Lord, for this church, for this body, and we just ask that you would be in our presence this morning. We ask that this morning would just glorify you in everything we do, Lord, that we would hear from your word, Lord, and that any distractions that we have in our hearts right now, that you would just take those and remove them from us in this moment, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you again for this word. I ask that you would just speak through me this morning, that these words would not be my words, but your words, Lord, and that way they would bring you glory. In your son's name I pray, amen. All right, so apparently I'm hot flashing already on the stage today. So if you guys see beads of sweat coming down my head, these lights, and they say these lights are LED. I think that's garbage. They feel hot. They feel very hot. So, well, guys, where this really came from is I was sitting at my table on my porch, on our front porch, and we have a view that looks out over the valley. And kind of my normal routine, this happened about 2 weeks ago. I was sitting out there and reading my Bible in the morning after I get up and make breakfast. Yeah, I make breakfast for my kids and wife, I know. Good job, right? All the dads out there are like, thanks for that. So, but anyways, I was out there and I was reading my Bible. I try to get at least a couple minutes in the mornings when I can. And it started to rain. It was like beautiful 5 minutes, right? And then it started to rain. I'm like, what is this? And then it started to get kind of cold. The wind picked up. And I started feeling uncomfortable. All right? Meaning, it was getting cold. I wanted to go inside. So I literally started picking up my stuff. I started putting my papers away, folded up my Bible. And I literally stood up. And I know this sounds weird, but I felt God say, stay right where you are. I have something for you. And I don't mean like audibly. It's not like I heard the voice, but I heard the voice, if that makes sense. And I thought that was kind of strange. Anybody else had that, like where God's really spoken to them really clearly, and you're like, oh, okay. So I was like, all right, God, I'll sit here in the rain if that's what I need to do. So I sat down, and I felt like he's like, I have something for you. And what I really felt like God told me in that moment is he said, Mike, your comfort is your greatest deterrent to your growth. Did you guys hear that? Your comfort is your greatest deterrent to your growth. So what had happened? I was sitting out there. I wanted to leave because I was a little bit uncomfortable. It's getting drizzled on a little bit of wind, okay? I wanted to leave. If I would have left in that moment, I would have missed what God had for me that day, right? So I started thinking about this, and I really started thinking about, even though maybe you're here today and maybe you're in a season or a time of life that's really uncomfortable, Maybe you're going through a divorce or a hardship that's just incredibly painful, and you probably don't want to be there. But maybe that's exactly where God has you right now for a reason, right? Anybody relate to that, right? So I was thinking about this in the context of the parable of the soils because I had recently read that, and I realized that the good, I want you guys to hear this, the good and the growth that God can do in our lives often depends on how receptive and how fertile the soil of our hearts are. You guys hear that? What we allow God to do oftentimes depends on how healthy we are from the standpoint of where our hearts are at and how receptive we are to his word. So if we're on healthy soil, it's pretty hard for him to plant something in us, right? You know what I'm saying? So I was looking at this story again, and just like the story of the soils we just read, the soil of our hearts, so to speak, which I kind of thought of as the relationship, maybe the receptiveness, and also the readiness that our hearts have, that again makes all the difference in the world in our ability to grow or to be used by God when he has something to plant in us. So there's kind of two different ways to think about this. When God has something for us, if our soil, again, is not ready, so maybe our soil's not really matured yet, it's not ready to receive, or we're not receptive, or maybe we're just not even in a place where we're in a relationship with God, that can often limit the impact or the ability that God has to speak into our hearts, our minds, or our souls, right? And it's not because God plants bad seed. He doesn't plant bad seed. There's no such thing. God does not have bad seed. But the receptiveness, the maturity, the readiness of our hearts oftentimes can limit the ability of that seed to actually impact and grow in our lives, right? And ultimately produce a harvest. So we're the limiters, not God. And there's two ways to really think about this when we're talking about the soil and how it represents the condition of your heart. The second part of that is not just the condition of your heart, but it also can represent the attitude and the perspective in which you live your life with, right? So think about that. So what's the status of your soil, right? The soil of our hearts, if we're talking in the context of Mark chapter 4, what we just read, and this is just my kind of definition of it. If it's the condition of your heart and it's the attitude and perspective, if that's how we're defining it, meaning if we're defining soil as soil equals condition of heart, soil equals attitude and perspective in life, I want to be good soil, right? I've never thought about it in my whole life, but I'm like, I want to be good dirt. Because it sounds weird to say, right? I want to be good dirt. Gives a whole new meaning to the word dirtbag, right? I like that one. I want to be good dirt. Say it out loud with me. I want to be good dirt. Okay, you want to be good dirt. I want to be good dirt. So thinking about this, as I was kind of sitting there last Sunday morning, I was out on my deck sitting in the rain again. And again, what I kind of also gathered and what I felt like God really gave to me in that moment was that I realized that the external conditions, right? It was raining around me. It was kind of windy. It was getting colder. That the discomfort that we are sometimes experiencing based upon those external conditions, those external conditions will not keep the seed from growing if the soil is good, if the soil is ready. Do you guys get what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that sometimes the external conditions, even if they're uncomfortable or painful, right, that are around us, sometimes those are needed to produce a healthy soil within us. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes the discomfort is what's needed to produce the change in the soil. So what we're going to do, guys, we looked at the definition. So again, the soil definition up on the screen, we can go back to that slide. It can represent the condition of your heart. Number two, it can represent the attitude and perspective in which you live. And again, we want to be good dirt. So you guys get it. That's what this message is about, being good dirt. Okay? All the farmers in the room said amen. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to jump back to the scripture, and we're going to read verses 15 through 20 really quick, just five verses here. And this is where Jesus' disciples were like, Jesus, what do you mean by this story? And Jesus is like, don't you guys get it? You guys have heard these stories. How can you not see what I'm trying to tell you? So I love his explanations here because they're really clear. So we're going to read through these, and then I'm going to unpack it a little bit. Verse 15, the different types of soils. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So think about that as like the hard walking path. So you guys have seen like a soil path that's been packed down for years and years and years and years and years, right? It's really hard for anything to grow in that. You don't even see weeds popping up in that because it's just like concrete, right? It's very difficult for anything to grow in that kind of soil. So that's what Jesus is talking about. when that seed is tossed on top of that soil, man, Satan comes in and he just takes that away. It's very easy for that because there's no permeability of that soil, so to speak. Verse 16, others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and receive it, or at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away, right? So I always think about this as like, man, if you got that root that's in that loose, rocky soil, you can come over and pull that plant out really easy, right? It doesn't take much effort at all because the roots are so shallow. There's nothing to that that's really holding it in well, and it's not very deep. Verse 19 says, verse 18, still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. If you looked at our garden right now at our house, this is exactly what our garden looks like, okay? There are about a billion weeds in our garden right now and maybe, I don't know, two actual living plants, okay? But they're choking out, number one, because I'm a terrible gardener, and so is my wife. Number two, right, we haven't really done anything to keep that up, so we've allowed these weeds to really come in and choke out the good plants that are there, right? So that's what Jesus is talking about. Then in verse 20, he said, others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So next slide here, the different types of soils, right? So just hit on these. The hard-packed soil, again, we just imagine that, the walking path. The rocky soil, everybody's seen that, where you got really shallow roots, and you can pull out that weed or that plant really easy. The soil filled with weeds, Mike's garden. And then the good soil, which is what we want to be, right? We want to be good dirt. You guys get it. So what are the things then that impact the health of our soil? If we go to the next slide here, there's a couple things that just popped in mind that are literally synonymous with what we just read. So hardened hearts. Think about that if your heart is hard. Shallow relationship with God. The world, like how that chokes us out. Life, the external circumstances that are constantly changing around us. And I really started thinking about these different types of soils, right? So there's the shallow soil, there's a hard-packed soil, there's the shallow, rocky soil, there's the soil that's choked out by weeds, and then there's the good soil. And I really started thinking, I have been all of those soils at different points in my life. Sometimes I'm different soils day to day, right? Does anybody relate? Like, maybe I'm just the only one who changes? I would love to tell you guys that, man, I'm 100% of the time good soil. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'm 10%. I was thinking about, like, back when I was in college, I wanted to live my life how I wanted to live it, right? I had hardened my heart against God. I didn't even want to feel convicted for the things I was doing. I didn't even want to hear from God. I was that hardened soil, right? Secondly, when I started off in my faith walk with God, I was shallow soil. When difficulty came along, man, my faith pretty quickly disappeared. I was like, God, how could you do this? I didn't have deep roots in God. My relationship was pretty shallow with him at that time, and it was easy for me to feel during difficult times that my faith just disappeared. The third one, right? The world, the things of this world that choke out the word. Man, I struggle with that every day, right? So those are things like our jobs, man, the things that we strive for, the big house, the new car, whatever it is. Those are the things that we allow to choke out God's word in our lives. I tell you, I still struggle with that again every single day. And then there's the good soil. Again, I'd love to stand up here and pretend as your pastor that I am this perfect person who is always good soil and God can always use for fruitfulness. That's not true. Maybe, if I'm lucky, maybe 10% of the time I feel that way. But I can tell you, once you experience what it is like to be good soil, you don't want to be any other type of soil, okay? Does that make sense? Yeah? That's the type of soil we should all strive to be, is that good soil that produces a harvest for God. And I can tell you the things that impact our soil really boil down to this. Whatever we allow to influence our soil or to enter into our soil will impact the health of it, right? Whatever we allow to come into or influence our soil will impact the health of that. What do I mean by that? So I mean things like toxic relationships, right? So if we have terrible people who are influencing our lives, you guys have ever heard that saying, show me your friends, I'll show you your future? It's really true. The people we allow to speak into our lives and impact our lives have a huge impact on the health of our soil. They agree, okay? Number two, the other things that influence it, obviously the world, our jobs, I mean, there's so many things. I could go on and on and on, but it really boils down to whatever we allow to influence it and whatever we allow into our soil changes the health of our soil. If we're stuck in pornography addiction, we're probably not really healthy soil, right? If we're struggling, you know, with all these different things, it's hard to be healthy soil. And I'm not saying that we're perfect, that we're ever going to be perfect, because we're not. But the reality is that the things that we allow in to influence it impact the health of it. Anyone relate? Hands up. Okay, good. I'm not alone. So in pursuing discipleship, that's what we're here to do, right? I want to be more like Jesus. Raise your hand if you want to be more like Jesus. Anybody? If you're not raising your hand, that's you should probably just leave now, okay? So if you're here and you don't want to be more like Jesus, yeah, all right, anyways. In pursuing discipleship, which is what we're doing, we want to be soil that is impermeable to the conditions surrounding us, i.e. we want to be soil that is healthy and able to receive the seeds that God has for us regardless of what's happening around us, right? Like, I want to be that kind of person where, man, even when life is great, I'm following Jesus. When life is bad, I'm following Jesus. When life is stagnant, I'm following Jesus. We want to be impermeable to the seasons around us. Woo! We want to have strong, deep, and healthy roots. And as disciples of Jesus, guys, as we desire to be more like him, in turn, we must desire to grow more in him, right? That's hard to do. So I'm going to give you guys an example here. Are there any farmers? I know my father-in-law's here. You're not a farmer. My dad raised his hand. Roger, Dean, where's Dean at? This is where I wanted Dean to be here. Come on, Dean, come in here. All right, so the farmers, all right? So I'm going to ask Dan and Roger and Dean, okay? My dad was a farmer at one point, maybe. I don't know. I don't think that's true. he raised his hand. Okay, Dean, Dan, Roger, is being a farmer easy? No. Okay, Dan just laughs. Okay, I love it. So, all right, so being a farmer is not easy. Does being a farmer require work every day? Yes, right? All right, so number one, okay, a couple observations, and I'm married to the farmer's daughter, literally, so I can say these observations. I better watch what I say right now. So you got to be a little crazy to be a farmer, okay, first of all. And I mean that in a healthy way, all right? Healthy kind of crazy, okay? Why do you have to be a little crazy to be a farmer? If you guys think about it, farmers, what do? They get up every single day. Right now, these three are guaranteed you thinking about what they're going to do later today on the farm, what needs to get done, how they could be using this time to do something else besides sit here. I guarantee you that's what they're thinking right now, and I can see a huge smirk on my father-in-law's face, so I know it's true, okay? Like, gosh, I could be out, you know, putting hay up instead. I'm here sitting in this seat, okay? But my point is they're always working constantly, okay? So what do they have to do? They have to till the soil. They have to plant the seed. They have to fertilize it. They got to get up and water it. They got to change pipe. There is no off season for them. And if you ask a farmer to take a day off, you'd think that you just punched their mother in the face, okay? That's how difficult it is for them to take a day off. They are workaholics. And here's the crazy part. They work and they work and they slave and they slave and they do all these things and they invest their time and their effort and their labor, and there's not even a guarantee that they're going to get a good harvest out of it. So first of all, thank your farmers. Give them a round of applause. Secondly, we got to realize, guys, that cultivating healthy soil, it is hard. Hard, H-A-R-D, hard. It is difficult for us to cultivate healthy soil. So I want to bring up some observations. We're going to go to the next slide here about cultivating healthy soil. Number one, we just talked all about this. It's hard, okay? But it also takes time. Secondly, it requires constant daily dedication and work. The farmer example we just gave. Third, it is influenced by the surrounding environment, i.e. our friends, how much time we're spending in relationship with God, are we serving? These things all impact the condition of our hearts. So those are just a couple quick observations. So what are the keys then to cultivating healthy soil? If we all want to be healthy soil, how do we do it? I don't think there's like a recipe, number one. I think it takes a lot of time and effort and trying to become disciples of Jesus. But number one, it's just kind of understanding that. It's a process. It does not happen overnight. Discipleship takes time. So you can't be like, oh man, I just made a decision to follow Christ yesterday and now life is perfect. I got everything figured out. Okay, I can tell you, even after years and years and years, there's some people in this room I know who followed Jesus for 60 plus years. They will still tell you it's difficult. Okay, it's never not hard. It is difficult to follow Jesus, and it's difficult to cultivate that healthy soil that he can use. Number two, you got to intentionally create some space and time for God on a daily, I'm going to underline daily basis. These guys can't be like, well, yeah, today I'm kind of tired, so I'm just going to take the day off from farming. They might want to, but they can't. They have to tend their crops every single day, especially during the growing season, because they can't allow anything bad to happen to them, right? So they have to literally fertilize the soil on a daily basis. That's what spending and creating time with God is about. If we're not doing that, it's pretty hard to be good, healthy soil. Number three, we got to learn to appreciate the wet seasons. So man, when growth is good, be grateful for it, right? Understand that's a blessing from God and lean into that. Really take advantage of those wet seasons. Next slide. Number four, learn from other good farmers. If I was going to go start farming today, which I won't give my wife a heart attack. Dan would laugh at that. I would tell you, I would go to these guys who have experience, and I'd say, how do I become a farmer? Now, how does that relate to what we're talking about? If you go to a mature Christian, you go to somebody who you know who's been walking with the Lord for a long time, there's people in this room that I look at and I admire the type of men and women they are and the way that they lead their families in Christ. Look at those people. Observe from them on what they're doing in their walk with the Lord. Learn from them, okay? There's experience to be gained there. So learn from other good farmers, mature Christians. Number five, know that turning the soil can be painful and hard, but ultimately that's what results in healthy soil. So what do I mean by that? Well, if I have part of my life, and I think this is really true for me, where here's my soil over here, okay? Let's say that's 60% of my life. And I'm like, God, you can do whatever you want in this 60%. You can till the soil, you can tear it up, you can change it. I will be open to whatever you have for me in this. But then there's this other 40% over here. I'm like, God, I got this soil. I'm going to till it myself, okay? I don't want you to touch this. If we separate what we allow God to do in regard to the soil of our lives, he can touch this part of the soil, but he can't do this. He can harvest this half of the field, but not this half. Man, we're going to really limit our ability to become a fruitful harvest for him if we do not allow him to work in all the areas that need tilled in our life. And often that's one of the hardest things to do. We don't want God to touch those areas because they hurt. It's hard, right? Number six, we have to be constantly reminded of the purpose of your being good soil. It's the harvest, guys. That's why we're doing all of this, right? It is about the harvest for Christ. And what do I mean by the harvest? I mean having people come to know Jesus through what you're doing in your life, okay? When we get to our inner lives, that's what's going to really matter. That's really important. So those are some keys, and those are just observations. And again, I'm not saying those are all the things, but let's go to the next slide. So we got this kind of some keys to cultivating good soil. So why is it, again, so stinking hard to cultivate good soil? Well, I'm going to ask you guys a question. So first of all, who in here, I'm going to have people raise their hands, who in here loves hot weather? Like the hotter the better, 100 degrees. Okay, keep your hands up for a second. Keep them up. 100 degrees, it's humid, it's disgusting. Nobody else likes it. Okay, look around at these people. Look around at them, shame them for a second. Okay, they can put their hands down. How many of you in here love the bitter cold of winter? Okay, there's just like four. So keep the hands up. You love it when it's snowy, when it's minus 30 out. Keep those hands up. Raise them up high. Be proud of that, okay? Look around at those people. They're the real nutsos in this room, okay? So, number three, how many of you guys like it on a day like today where it's beautiful, it's sunny out, it's mid-70s, there's a light breeze going on, it's comfortable, it's great, right? Look around for a second. Look around. How many people you think have their hands up in proportion to those other two groups? We like comfort, guys. We as human beings like mild weather. Now, what the heck does that have to do with this? Well, guys, that's the greatest threat to our healthy soil is comfort. And here's the thing is that translates into our relationship with God. Man, when things are going good and it's easy and it's just 70 degrees and a little light breeze and feels comfortable, whew, what's the need to grow with God? It's comfortable. That is the greatest threat to our healthy soil is comfort. Revelations 3:15-16 says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Woo! That's harsh. I'll spit you out of my mouth? So like 80% of you, you're getting spit out of the mouth, okay? The nutsos were right. No, I'm just kidding, okay? But you guys get what I'm saying here. What I'm saying here is God does not like a lukewarm Christian. He wants you to be on fire for him, okay? I don't know about cold, but on fire for him. We'll say that, okay? He does not like lukewarm. He literally says, I will spit you out of my mouth, right? The danger, the greatest danger that we have to our growth and being good soil for God is our comfort. If you don't take anything else home from today, please take that home. That's our next take-home point right here. Mild weather, like we just talked about, generally produces comfort, which generally, I'm not saying always, but generally does not result in much change, and in the case of our relationship with God, much growth, right? Here's the thing. Satan loves us here. He loves it when we are lukewarm soil, so to speak. If we're soil that's unhealthy, we are not able to even really produce much of a crop, if any. And in turn, we are ineffective at producing a harvest. Man, that is where Satan loves us to be. You can't do anything good for God if you're there, right? And the worst part about it is we in Western culture, especially as Christians in the Western world, we are taught everything in our society should revolve around comfort, right? Like we are taught to be comfortable. That's what we're all searching for is comfort, right? I want to sit in my living room with my Dish Network TV. I want to have my cold drink. I want to have my air condition on at 72 degrees and just feel comfortable, right? And I'm not shaming us. I'm not saying that we're horrible human beings as Western Christians, but I'm saying that the culture in which we live teaches us more and more to pursue comfort over God every day. And that's something we got to be really careful about. So your take-home truth here is your greatest comfort, again, is your greatest deterrent to your growth. You guys get that. So maybe you say, all right, what should we do then, Mike? What should we do? I want to tell you guys this. We must learn to tune our spiritual barometer, so to speak, to a place where we desire constant growth, even in the difficult seasons. That's to say, even in the comfortable seasons as well, right? We must learn to tune our spiritual barometers to a place where we desire constant growth, even in the difficult or maybe even in the comfortable seasons. So growth, guys, again, can be stagnant, like we just talked about specifically when we're most comfortable. And generally, this is when it's hardest to grow, when our soil is really not producing much of anything. So let me give you an example of this. How do you guys make a flower constantly grow? Throw out some ideas. If you got this seed and you plant it in soil, how do you make it grow? Water it. Okay, what else? Fertilize it. Okay, what else? Good dirt. Yeah, okay. You got to have enough soil. We got to weed it, right? Sunshine, okay? So you got to have the right thing. So you guys get it. You got to have a good seed to begin with. You got to secondly have good soil. You got to fertilize it. You got to water it. You got to give it the right amount of sun, but not too much. And what happens if that occurs? It grows, okay? It grows. And that's great. When life is like that, it's easy to grow in Christ, but I'd also say it's also most common when we're stagnant, when life is like that, because everything just comes easily, right? Now, maybe you're like, okay, Mike, that doesn't sound me like at all. I'm in the dry season. Anybody in the dry season of life? Raise your hand. It's okay if you are. Jen, okay. Anybody else? You don't have to. I'm not going to shame you or anything. Dry seasons are real. And maybe you're there and you're going, man, how can I even know what God wants for me because I feel like I'm just so dry. So how are your roots then affected when you're in the dry season of life? Or maybe you just call it the difficult seasons of life, right? Those things I always wonder about. I wonder about the dry seasons, and I ask myself the question, is there anything that's maybe good or any growth that can come from those seasons? So soils dry out, right? When it's too hot, there's not enough water. Imagine you look at a plant. What's a plant look like when it's super dry? You can answer. The leaves are withered, right? So you got these weathered leaves. Part of the plant maybe starts to die. Maybe that's even how you feel right now in this room. Maybe you're sitting in here and you're like, man, I haven't heard from God in 10 years. Like, I'm in a dry, dry desert. And even though the good news here is that we might look like a mess on the outside, meaning that we might be dried up, crinkled, and I'm not talking about aging, okay? We might look sick. The thing about the dry seasons is that those are the opportunities during which we can grow our roots even deeper. Do you guys get that? Changing our perspective about the dry seasons is critical, because the dry seasons, even though they're painful and they're difficult and on the outside it can look like we're absolutely falling apart, it is the greatest opportunity for us to grow our roots deeper in Christ. And guess what happens? If we lean into that, if we grow our roots deeper in Christ, then we can weather not only the dry seasons, but any other season that comes across. We can withstand any condition that's thrown at us because our roots are deep in Christ. Okay? It's hard. Amen. There should be some amens there. I agree. So I insert amens into my, no, I'm just kidding. I don't. So you guys get it though. The dry seasons, again, are opportunities to grow our roots deeper. And that's what I want to encourage you. And I felt like God wanted me to tell somebody that. When we're forced to grow those roots deeper, that ultimately, again, results in a stronger plant that is better able to withstand the harsh changing conditions of life that are guaranteed to occur. Guaranteed that you're going to go through some hardships. So here you go. The take-home truth. The health of your soil, then, in conjunction with the depth of your roots, is what allows us to survive and even thrive during the dry seasons of life, right? Yes. Grow your roots deep, guys. Our goal as disciples of Jesus is to grow roots so deep in God that we are, again, impervious to the external conditions surrounding our lives. That's what I want. But let me tell you this. That's way easier said than done, right? Way easier said than done. But again, I brought this up earlier. I don't know about you, but I want to be a Christian who follows Jesus, whether my life is good, whether my life is bad, whether my marriage is going awesome, whether it's not, whether my kids are thriving, whether or not. I want to be a Christian who follows Jesus regardless of what is going around or going on around me. Amen? Anybody else want to be like that? That's what I want to be like, but it's hard. It's really hard, guys. So I think this brings us back to sometimes understanding why this matters, the harvest, the eternal perspective that we are called to live this life with, the understanding that wisdom and true peace only comes from Jesus, and that purpose gives us greater insight into why the condition of our soil is so important. Jesus tells us in verse 20, he says, "Others, like seeds sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown." You guys hear that? What's the purpose of all this? Right? To produce a harvest. I want my life, and I hope we all want our lives to be lived out in a way that produces a harvest for Jesus. At the end of my life, guys, what's going to matter? At the end of your life, what's going to matter? Is it going to be your accomplishments? Is it going to be your degrees? Is it going to be how big your house was? Is it going to be how much money you made? Are any of those things going to matter at the end of your life? No, they're not. What's going to matter? The end game question is, what will our harvest look like at the end of our lives? Right? I want to produce a good harvest. I want to hear from God, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That should be the desire of all of our hearts. And again, I'm not saying that's easy to do, but that's what we should be trying to constantly cultivate. A healthy soil that God can use to plant seeds in, which ultimately will turn into a harvest for his kingdom. So I ask myself the question, will I allow the dry or stagnant seasons to stunt the harvest? Or will I look back on my life and say, did I use those seasons to double down, grow deeper roots, and produce an even greater harvest for Jesus? I'm going to invite the band on up. We'll go ahead and we'll pray. And after we pray, guys, we're going to take a moment. We're going to do communion right after that. If you guys all join me, bow our heads here. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of the dry seasons, even in the midst of what seems like stagnancy in our lives, Lord, that you are there. Help us to grow our roots deeper, Lord. Help us to come to better know you, to know your son, Jesus, and your word. We want you, Lord. We want more of you. We want our lives to be filled with your love so much and so abundantly that we can look back at the harvest and see that it was bountiful for your glory. Help us, Lord, to see those maybe in our lives that we need to impact and reach. Help us to be receptive to whatever season we're going through and understand that even in those difficult times, Lord, we can use those as opportunities to grow in you. Help us to have eyes to see that and ears to hear that, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We thank you again so much for this word and this time in it. In your son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, church, let's go ahead and we'll stand, we'll worship, and then we'll do communion right after that.